Church, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. We are continuing on in our HeartStrong series. If you have not joined HeartStrong at the 6 a.m. time slot, Monday through Thursday, I do encourage you to jump on there. The readings have been incredible, but the teachings have been amazing. It's so, so good. And one of my favorite things about HeartStrong is that all of the teachings are recorded and then posted onto the website. So if you haven't navigated the website yet, you can find it through our Life Center website. But I typically, although I am not a 6 a.m. individual, end up watching the teachings throughout my day and have been so, so blessed by our congregation from Cornwall and Orleans and here in Kanata that have taken on the teachings. I'm teaching this week, but it's been a while since we've had one of our pastors teaching because God is equipping our congregation to minister to each other. So I absolutely love it. It's a great way to get a glimpse of what God is doing across our city and in Cornwall as well as God continues to speak such life into us through the Old Testament. Last week, we had a pretty incredible opportunity to talk about King David, the one who has this incredible label of being a man after God's own heart. And we walked through some of the difficulties that David had to navigate, and yet God never changed who it was that he saw David as. It really just took David's heart of repentance to be able to continue down that line. And I just want to encourage each of you off the top this morning, if you were here last week and you really felt like God was calling you to a moment of repentance, to continue to walk that out. May we be a people that run from sin and run to the light. This week, we're going to talk about King David as he is making his exit. So 1 Kings, the very first chapter, actually steps us into the story where King David is passing from his season of being king into his season of passing on the throne. And King David lived an incredible life, but this moment of transition, this moment of transfer of kingdom and of kingship is important for us to dig into. We're going to talk specifically about his son. I'm going to get it right off the top. It's Adonijah. Come on. I practice this so much. Adonijah. There we go. All right. You see it there? It's written Adonijah. You see it? It's good. You see it in your Bibles? Adonijah. All right, we'll get it. We're going to talk about his son, Adonijah. And Adonijah had this incredible opportunity to watch his father live in this role of king. And as his father was beginning to pass on, he took it upon himself to make a declaration as to who the next king would be. And I wonder if any of you have ever been in this situation where you have tried to take it upon yourself to declare who it was that you were going to be. Now, I am not tall in stature, but I did love growing up the tall in stature sports. Any volleyball fans, basketball fans? These were things that, you know, in grade 5, in grade 6, I absolutely adored. As you know, you go to the gym and your teachers would be like, all right, this week we're going to play this sport. And I was like, this is amazing. I remember actually in grade 7 being chosen as a captain of the basketball team. First time in my life, last time in my life. And so I remember the teacher was like, Mitch, you're going to be a captain of the team. And this was great. And a couple of my other friends were the other captains. We had like 5 or 6 teams and they were choosing all of their friends. And I remember specifically my first 2 picks in basketball were the tallest grade 7 girls in our class. And some of my friends were wondering why I hadn't picked them, but they stopped wondering as our team went undefeated that week. It was amazing. And I remember walking up to these ladies and saying, listen, all you need to do is stand underneath the basket, all right? You shoot, get the rebound, she misses. You shoot, get the rebound, she misses. And they put up an all-star level amount of points, probably still telling their kids about it to this day. Yeah, that's right. Wow. What wisdom. But I remember thinking like, this is exactly what I want to do. I love winning at basketball. And as I continued on in my life and remained the same height that I was in grade 7 for the rest of my life, it became very apparent to me very quickly that basketball was not to be my calling, that volleyball was not to be my calling. And there are times in our lives where we can look at things and look at things that other people are accomplishing and saying, man, I would love to do that. I would love to be a part of that. I think now in today's day and age, probably more so even when I was growing up, now that there's social media, there's a constant comparison aspect to how it is that we journey, where we see what other people have, we see what other people are doing, and if we're being honest, maybe sometimes we ask and question not just ourselves, but God, why them and not me? King David, not only are we reading about his story in Samuel and Kings, but we're going to dive into his story again in Psalms, as he is noted as being this incredible psalmist who wrote these incredible songs and poems unto the Lord. And in Psalms chapter 1, verse 6, King David says this, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Now, a lot of times when we're reading this, if we don't take in light who King David was and the areas in which he struggled, we can miss very easily where we can associate wickedness with evil things that we have seen. But after just reading through the story of David last week, we need to keep it at the front of our minds that one of the most evil things that are shown to us in the story of King David and that will continue to be shown to us through the story of the kings is selfishness and ambition. Selfishness and ambition. These are actually two of the things that King David is citing here in the Psalms, that the way of the wicked will perish. That those who operate from a heart position of selfishness and ambition will find themselves in opposition to a Lord who knows who it is that you truly are. Why it is that you're here today. What it is that tomorrow has in store for you, and the reason that he's equipped you the way that he has equipped you, the reason that you laugh at the jokes that you laugh about, the reason that you are who you truly are, church, God knows you best. As we dig into David's son's story today, let us just begin this with an understanding that we are called to be who God has created us to be. We are called to be who God has created us to be, and may the hunger of our hearts be for those things that God has created for us to live in. And in this time of social media, as comparison begins to spark and this immense pressure to find yourself on one of two sides of whether it be a political spectrum or opposing view sides, may our desire as Christians be to seek the heart of the Lord above all else. Not only did I grow up thinking that I was going to be a sports star, especially in basketball or volleyball, but I also had this really deep, deep-seated passion. For those of you that shared this, especially in your school times, you'll understand. I had this deep-seated passion to get as far away as possible for public speaking as I possibly could. To the point where I remember any time that we'd have, I don't know if you guys remember, some of you, this is all too close to home. If you're in college, university, or high school, we had those big like bulletin boards that you'd have to do up, right? And you get a bunch of classes to like, I don't know, you want to study aviation or mechanics or whatever, and you'd print off things and glue it onto the bulletin board and hope that it would stay there for your presentation. I remember just being crippled in fear as putting those things together, being like, I don't mind sticking these to the boards, but I don't want to talk about any of these things. To the point where any time that I'd be in a group project, I would do my best to make sure that I was as involved as possible in every other aspect of the assignment so that I wouldn't be chosen to publicly present. When people would ask me, are you going to be a pastor like your dad? I would laugh. No. Why? Because I don't want to say anything ever. But church, I just share this morning to encourage you that God knows who it is that you're called to be. And the times when basketball and volleyball were closed, although it was what I desired, it was interesting to find myself having come back to the Lord at 18 years old with the doors into ministry flung wide open into the exact place that I didn't want to go. But where God has equipped you, you will find peace as you follow him. So let's dive into our scripture this morning. We're going to read from 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. His father had never at any time displeased him by asking, "Why have you done this so?" And he was also a very handsome man, and he was born next after Absalom. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest. And they followed Adonijah. I was like in my head, like I'm doing well so far with all these names. Wow. And we conferred, and then they followed Adonijah and helped him. But Zadok, the priest of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan, the prophet of Shimei, and Rei, and David's mighty men were not with Adonijah. There we go. Adonijah. Thank you. Where were you before? All right. Adonijah sacrificed sheep, oxen, and fattened cattle by the serpent stone, which is beside Enrogel. And he invited all of his brothers, the king's sons, and all the royal officials of Judah. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet or Benaniah or the mighty men of Solomon, his brother. Let's pray. God, we thank you for inviting us here this morning, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you for giving us the energy. I thank you, Lord God, for those who are here in the building today. Lord God, for traveling mercy. God, we pray for anyone else that is on the road today. God, be with each and every person, Lord God, and keep them safe. Lord, for those of us who are watching from home today, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would rest on each and every house, Lord God. Lord, open our hearts to hear what it is that you have to say today, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would speak into each and every circumstance. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every situation. Lord, I pray that you would be elevated, that you would be exalted, that your name would be lifted high in this place and in every home represented here today. God, in Orleans and Cornwall, Lord, may there be a shout of praise that would begin to ripple all across this city as the name of Jesus is made to be known in this place. Lord, for those of us that are carrying friends and family members that don't know you, Lord, may this word today, may it speak into our very circumstance, may it speak into every situation, Lord, and may we be reminded that you know exactly what you're doing. God, in areas where we may be unsure, in areas where we may be trying to push the agenda, Lord, I pray that even as Paul has encouraged us today, Lord, that we would breathe. God, settle us today to a place of rest, remembering that you are the one who fight the battles, that every victory, Lord, is done in your name, and Lord, that every moment that we will celebrate together, Lord, it is done for your praise and for your glory alone. So, Lord, give us mercy and peace today, Lord Jesus, as we rest and read from your word. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, brother who yelled it out, what was his name again? Adonijah. There we go. And so David's son Adonijah has a position. He has some form of following, but he also has a deep ambition and desire to be the next king of Israel. Although he is David's son and has some of the aspects lined up, it has not been spoken over him that he will be the one to take this place. He's actually not the one that David has chosen to anoint the next king of Israel. His ambition is about to hit a brick wall where it comes from what it is that he wants and what God has actually anointed him to do. Anointing, especially as we read about it in the Old Testament, was on a person or a place to be a bridge between heaven and earth. Jesus Christ, that Christ title actually means anointed one. In him, Christians have that desire for God to use them here on earth so that it may look more like heaven today. Hallelujah. So anointing cares both about what we do and how we do it. In 1 Kings, we read this growing sense of tension. Adonijah begins to exalt himself before God ever speaks into his situation. He begins to gather together people that will run before his chariots. He begins to gather together a procession. He begins to move into some of the rituals and some of the anointing places that will need to happen for any of the next kings of Israel to be anointed, but he has not heard from the Lord. He has not heard from his father, who is the king, but he has also not heard from the Lord, who appoints any king at any time. So there's a genuine lack of love for what he desires to lead that we read about. Knowing the existing tensions, he invites the royal officials of Judah, but not of Israel. Ambition thinks only of how to win or to lose. But anointing from God focuses on what brings the Lord the most honor. Adonijah also has an unwillingness to hear anything but an affirmation about his own dream. He doesn't invite Nathan the prophet or Solomon his brother. Ambition seeks only affirmation, but anointing is willing to be brought low. Hello? Adonijah also has an arrogance that excludes the former generation. He is never confirmed as the next king by King David himself, but he has this ambition to see the sacrifices of others. Anointing, on the other hand, builds generation to generation. Pastor Jason and Pastor Lori were actually meeting with our Kanata staff just a couple of weeks ago. And Pastor Jason, as he was sharing about the history of Life Center and what makes Life Center such a unique and powerful a vessel in what God is doing here in Ottawa, he spoke these incredible words. He said, you know, when you walk into a church that carries the Life Center name, you should see the young and the old. And they should be worshiping and celebrating together. And I love that. There's a lot of churches and a lot of sermons that I've stood in where I've heard that message of, if there's no children present, then that's a warning sign for the church that's in existence right there. But I love the flip side of that, where Pastor Jason said, listen, if there's no grandmas and there's no grandpas there in the church, that's a warning sign for the existing generation. Where's the wisdom? Where's the love? Just a few weeks ago, we had Liz Bell share a testimony. And church, I am so thankful for those in this congregation that wear their gray hair with pride. Right? I'm getting there myself, so not far behind. But I think it's so incredible, even what we've demonstrated this morning, as our junior high left to go to his class. That celebration point, as much as it probably just made him squirm, right? But to let them know, junior highs, we are cheering you on, right? For our life kids and those who are volunteering in our life kids ministry, for them to know we are cheering you on. But saints in this room today that have spent many suns and many moons with the Lord, can I tell you this morning, we are cheering you on. It becomes really difficult to pass the baton to the younger generation if the older generation is nowhere to be found. To be able to cheer each other on, to be able to celebrate what one has done in the past and also cheer on what God is doing in the future, this allows us to have a full understanding of why God has placed, specifically in our instance, Kanata Life Center in this place. What God has done in the past, we celebrate, and we have a healthy expectation of what it is that he's about to do. But Adonijah, because he didn't have that set in his life, this wasn't something that he was leaning on from King David. Instead, he was trying to form something of his own. He was trying to move ahead on his own. He specifically excluded anybody that would be for King David, trying to rally together people that would be for him and himself. I've said it before, one of my favorite things about Life Center is that we care passionately here in Kanata about what's taking place in Orleans and in Cornwall. And church, may I encourage you that every time you pass any church, whether it carries the title Life Center or not, that we would be a people of prayer. That we would say, God, do something miraculous in this place. Catholic, United, Presbyterian. That God would move in power, because it is not our glory that we seek, amen? But it is the glory of the Lord that we are after. As all these individuals are gathered around, it becomes very clear that this is not who David has chosen. It's not who the Lord has chosen. In fact, it will be King Solomon who will actually follow up King David. Church, as we walk into the world tomorrow, as we walk back into our city of Ottawa on Tuesday, I want to encourage you not to run after what you have in your heart, but instead to hunger and thirst for the things of the Lord. There is no doubt in my mind that each and every one of you are here for a purpose. There's no doubt in my mind that each and every one of you are going to be invited into different situations and different opportunities where you are going to be able to stand in awe of who the Lord is. But there's also no doubt in my mind that we will serve and that we will face the same temptation as David's son, to prioritize our own desires without consulting the Lord. In the year 2025, may we not be a people that hunger and thirst for more riches. May we not be a people who hunger and thirst for more power. May we not be a people who hunger and thirst for more affirmation. But instead, may we seek to serve an audience of one. To have the Lord standing before us in every situation, at home, at work, on the road. And to be able to represent him in the giftings that he has placed inside of us. See, so many times when we begin these conversations about what it means to follow after ambition rather than anointing, even as we have kind of gathered it this morning, it can center too much around occupation. Church, yes, God has a place for you to work. God has a place for you to serve, but he has created you for so much more than your profession. Hello? He has created you for so much more than your profession. Today, we use King David's sons as an example as they are wrestling out who will be the next king. But today in 2025, I want to encourage you that our biggest place of wrestle should not be where it is that we will work and what job it is that we will have, but our biggest place of wrestle should be, God, what is it that you have gifted me to do? I'll say that again. In today's day and age, our biggest wrestle should not be about our job and where it is that God would have us fulfill our occupation, but our biggest wrestle should be, God, what is it that you have gifted me to do? So many young people will come and ask advice, whether it be to myself or maybe for others in this congregation, where they should go to school and what job that they should get and how will they know if God wants them to be there or not. While these are great questions, and at times God can give a clear answer, the frustration comes when doors begin to open and God is silent. Hello? Anyone ever been there before? Where you're like, I'm praying, I'm reading the Bible, I'm doing all these things, and there's two or three doors open and I'm just not hearing from the Lord. One of the most frustrating and yet beautiful things about following God is sometimes he is silent. In areas where he's speaking, I'm with you. Church, I want to encourage you that just as Moses heard from the Lord as that burning bush was present before him, and he was instructed to take his sandals off because he was standing on holy ground, so is the ground that God will have you occupy. And so whether that's doctor or lawyer or bus driver, wherever it is that God places us, because he is in us and he is for us and he is with us, that place is holy ground. And so it is not so much about what profession it is that you occupy or where it is that God places you so that you can get your check at the end of every 2 weeks. The question for today, because Jesus has died on the cross, is what giftings has the Holy Spirit empowered us with? What is the anointing that he has placed on our lives? And where can we best affect the influence for the kingdom in the city that he has placed us in? We don't know a lot about the future of King David's son, but we do know that because he mistakenly ran after this ambition and this dream without seeking the anointing of the Lord, without understanding what it truly was that God wanted for him, his true purpose was not able to be fulfilled. Could he have been risen up to be one of the greatest advisors that King Solomon ever had? Could he have been a warrior on the front lines? Could he have been somebody that God, just as he anointed Solomon with wisdom, he would have also passed that on to Solomon's other brother? Church, this is what happens in our life when we get ahead of the plan that the Lord has for us. If Paul was here today, how would he encourage us to run the race? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I love the words of Paul. For those of you that weren't with us as we read through Heart Strong a few seasons ago, you'll understand that Paul wasn't always able to speak so highly to other Christians. It actually took a confronting by Jesus himself on the road to Damascus to totally change and enlighten Paul to who it was that he was actually created to be. And as Paul began to walk into the anointing that God had placed on him, it led him to miraculous moments and incredible opportunities to plant churches, but it also led him to shipwreck after shipwreck after shipwreck. And these are the words in Ephesians that Paul speaks. Almost the exact opposite of what King David's son does. If you go back to the verse that we read in 1 Kings, you'll see that King David's son was completely lining all these things up to be as onto himself. But Paul says, do all these things with humility and gentleness. Don't prop yourself up, but instead seek to get out of the way so that God can be shown in all ways. The disciple Peter also has words for us and encouragement. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 to 19, Peter, as he was running his race, encouraged people this way. He who has called you is holy. And so you also need to be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, come on, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. God's desire is that his followers of Jesus would not just simply be employed secularly, but that they would live out the gospel that we have seen through his son among those whom he also loves, even though they may not fully know it yet, so that we may trust him in all circumstances and be reminded that he is Lord, that he is Savior, and that this is his story that we've been invited to be a part of. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 says, God calls a few to Christian leadership to equip the saints for ministry work. So the pinnacle of calling is not simply to be a part of a fivefold minister occupation. Instead, it is the faithfulness to be who God has created us to be. Come on. And to do what he's called and spiritually gifted us to do. Just as with King David's son, than for us today. In following Jesus, ambition is not enough. We need to seek his anointing so that we can be trees that are planted in the power of the Holy Spirit. In a local church community where we can humbly do the heart work of discerning who God has created us to be and how he has spiritually gifted us to make a Jesus-sized difference in this city. God already had the next king in mind, but his name was not Adonijah. It was Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When King David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Or, if we were to think of this expressed a little differently in a creative prayer, it would be like this. Blessed are you who do not actively follow ambition, particularly the counsel of those hostile to God or those who abide in nothing but mocking. Instead of doing these things, beloved, let us delight in the Lord and on his law, in him, by him, through him, anointed, carrying the fragrance of Christ, to imagine, to speak, and to think wholly about his way day and night. If we do this, we'll be people that are planted by the streams of living water. If we ignore this challenge today, we'll be like chaff being blown and used by others. God knows the plan that he has for you better than you do. Our call is to trust him, even in our moments of disappointment. At 18 years old, I was confronted with the reality that God was calling me to be a pastor. And it was this supernatural moment where I got up and I walked downstairs and I said, Dad, I think I'm supposed to go to Bible college. And he looked at me and he said, are you sure? I said, yes. And I went back upstairs and I sat on my bed, and it was like something out of a movie. I had been watching myself all this time, and as I sat on my bed, I was sucked back into my body, and I heard my dad downstairs calling the Bible college in Toronto saying, hey, have I got one for you? Literally 4 days later, I was sitting in an office in downtown Toronto, not 100% sure of what it was that was going on, but about to be lined up for what would be my next 4.5 years in Bible college. It was in that moment that I realized that although I didn't want to be a public speaker, God was going to equip me in ways that I could have never imagined. In my own story, my gifting coincided with an occupation. But church, that does not have to be the way that God has lined it up to be. The challenge today is to not look at where God has placed you and ask the question, am I where I'm supposed to be? The challenge and where it is that we really want you to step into is, am I being who God has created me to be? Not so that I can have more accolades, not so that I can rise in position, but am I being who God has created me to be, whether it's in a hospital, in a school, in the neighborhood in which you find yourself in? Do those that God has surrounded you with, do they know who it is that you live for? See, this is the true beauty and the true difference between ambition and anointing. Ambition is our desire to run after what it is that we want to run after, so that others would be able to see us in those places where God has put us. But anointing is the recognition that, God, I may not want to say or do those things. I may not want to step into that place. But Lord, if they see you and not me, I will go. I'm going to say that again. Ambition is the desire for others to see us, for our names to be lifted high, for people to recognize that we have worth and that we have a place. Anointing is the exact opposite. It's the recognition that God sees you. Come on. That God sees you and he loves you and he's equipped you to step into places that you may not want to step in, to say things that you may not want to say. But if you are faithful in doing so, if you live and walk after in a holy life, serving a holy God, that they will speak his name, even if they never fully understand who you are. This is the difference between ambition and anointing. That each and every one of us would desire with everything in us that those who God has called us into community with, that they would see our Savior, not just the one that he has set free. that they would see our Savior, not just the person that he saved. Oh, what a contrast that we have been called to live for such a time as this. Amen? At a time where everyone is hungry to have their name out there, to have as many followers as they possibly can, as many viewers as they possibly can into their own personal story, we have been called to do the exact opposite. The only story that we want people to read is the one that is written down in his great word, the story of Jesus alive in each of our lives. In just a moment, I'll call Paul back to the stage. But my challenge today, my encouragement today, is that we would seek out the giftings that God has given us, that we would discern why it is that he has placed us here. The beauty of the church is that he has called us all to be together. And though we are few in the building today, we are mighty in what it is that God has called us to step into. I can't wait to see what God is going to unlock over these next few months, over these next few years. There are young people that just a few weeks ago on retreat, God began to whisper the truth about who they truly are. Beloved, as you sit here in your rooms at home or in this building today, God is whispering new truths about who you truly are. I believe that there are prayer warriors in this room that you've just yet to unlock the true anointing that God has placed on your life. I believe that just as we celebrated a miraculous healing that took place on youth retreat, that there are individuals in this room that God is going to give you words that will bring supernatural healing into individuals who have been suffering from anxiety and depression. I believe that God wants the captives to be set free, and he is going to gift individuals to do such a thing. I believe that there are those in this room that will have giftings of prophecy and words of wisdom, giftings of discernment to be unlocked. I believe that there are those in this room that God will readjust your entire occupation. God will readjust your entire calling because you've been running after what it is that you want, and God is going to shift that. That's okay. It may not be true in every case, but it may be true in some. May we hunger to be where God wants us and needs us to be. Not simply running after the things that would be bring joy to our own heart, but instead may we hunger to bring joy to the heart of the Lord. Let's pray this morning. God, I thank you that you have not called us to be ambitious for our own behalf. But God, I thank you that you anointed us for such a time as this. God, I pray a fresh call to each and every person in this room. God, for our high school students, God, I would remind them that they are called to that high school, not just to get a diploma, but to speak your word in boldness. God, for our doctors and our lawyers, for our real estate agents, Lord Jesus. God, for our teachers, for our office workers, Lord God, for those that even right now you are placing their neighbors on their heart, Lord, I pray that you would remind us that you have anointed us to step into those places, that where we stand is holy ground. And so, Lord, we do not desire great conversations for our own sake. God, we do not desire promotion for our own sake. God, we do not desire people to recognize and see what it is that we're capable of doing for our own sake. But today, Lord God, may we place our names at the foot of your throne. God, our desires and our hopes and our dreams, Lord Jesus, we lay them down beside you. And God, for those of our for those things that coincide with where it is that you're going, Lord, I pray that we would have the boldness to step into that anointing. May your name be great in this city. May your name be lifted on high. God, I pray for new salvations in this coming season like we have never seen before, as we decide even today to step back out of the way. God, we release you to do something fresh in the city of Ottawa. God, we release you to do something fresh in the city of Ottawa. God, that as we are being set free from ambition today, Lord God, that it would just spur and create an opportunity for those who will know you in the coming months, that they also would be set free, not to have to carry the weight on their own shoulders, but instead, God, to walk freely into what it is that you've called them into. And so, Lord, may the fruit of your Spirit rise in this place, and may we learn each and every day more about what you have gifted us to step into. God, send your anointing on this place afresh, a double portion of your Holy Spirit for each and every person. In Jesus' name, amen.